Okay, I'm going to call this meeting of the House Committee on Veterans Services and Emergency Preparedness for Tuesday, March 10th to order. And we have four public hearings today, so I'm going to open the first public hearing, which is on HCR 1. Mr. Administrator, you want to provide us a background on it?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Today we'll be honoring three Oregonians killed in Iraq-Afghanistan campaigns of the Global War on Terror. In 2010, the 1st Marine Expeditionary Force launched a major assault on Marja, a Taliban stronghold and center of gravity for insurgent operations in Helmand Province in southern Afghanistan. In fierce fighting since the Second Battle of Fallujah, two of the Oregon Marines we honor today served in the same battalion and were killed within 3 days of each other. HCR 1 memorializes Lance Corporal Joseph E. Rudenwald. Lance Corporal Rudenwald of Eugene, Oregon, was killed by insurgents in Sangin, Afghanistan on October 13, 2010. Enlisted in the United States Marine Corps in November 2007 and proudly served as an infantryman assigned to the 3rd Battalion, 5th Marine Regiment, 1st Marine Division, 1st Marine Expeditionary Force. He was 21. His decorations include the Navy and Marine Corps Purple Heart Medal, Afghanistan Campaign Medal, Combat Action Ribbon, National Defense Service Medal, Global War on Terrorism Service Medal, and the Sea Service Deployment Ribbon. House Concurrent Resolution 1 honors him.
Thank you. Do we have anybody signed up to speak? Okay, is there anybody here in the audience who wishes to speak on this particular resolution? Okay.
Mr. Chair,
is
this a committee bill? Is that how we're doing this, or?
I don't think it is a committee
bill. Or who brought it to us, do you know?
I'll look it up here
on behalf of Representative Olson.
Olson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Olson pre-filed.
Yeah. Okay. And I'll close the public hearing on HCR number 1. And I'll open a public hearing on HCR 2. Mr. Administrator?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Representative Olson just came in.
Oh, sorry, Representative Olson. Come right on in.
Sir.
See, we're pretty good.
Representative Olson, you have to tell him the big hands on the 12, the little hands on the 1.
You don't have to take that, Representative Olson, if you don't want to. It's up to you.
That's my little brother.
I'll just leave that alone.
Okay.
Mr. Chair. So.
So we're actually in a hearing for HCR 2, but I'll take whatever comments you have about any of the ones that you presented, Representative Olson.
Well, hey, Mr. Chair and committee members, my name is Andy Olson. I'm a state representative out of the Albany area, and I really, truly want to say thank you very much for this opportunity. You're going to get the opportunity to hear just a snapshot of three House concurrent resolutions from me here in just the next few minutes. The first one being number one, which is Lance Corporal Joseph Waldewald. Then you have House concurrent resolution 2, which we're going to address right now, but that's Corporal Corey Weens and his dog Cooper. And then the last one will be House concurrent resolution 3, which is Sergeant Ian Taney. And I noticed that his folks are here.
So is it appropriate that I just open all three hearings?
Yeah,
okay,
sure.
So we'll get this corrected here eventually.
Okay.
Remember, I'm the chair, and I'm just kind of learning as I go along. So I'm going to open hearings on all three, HCR 1, HCR 2, and HCR 3.
All now right, well, we're set. I appreciate that very much, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Because all three of these men are from the Mid-Valley, two of them from Albany, one's from Dallas. All two of them are from were assigned to the Marine Corps. The other one was from the Army. All three of them, as you'll see, kind of a common theme between them is there was passion, there was heart, there was clearly devotion for who they served, and they loved doing what they were doing. And I want to kind of just paint just a brief little picture for you, because obviously when we get to the House floor with these it's going to be entirely a different ball game then, because I really want to take the opportunity then to paint that picture. But you should also be aware, too, that these three House concurrent resolutions, and I think you may be aware of this, Mr. Chair, that House Bill 2389 will be coming out tomorrow during a work session out of the Department of Transportation Committee, and that's going to be the mechanism for the piece that we're going to be using here in the building for using House concurrent resolutions to move forward real easy rather than just a bill itself.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll move forward here then with number two. Or actually, I'll start with number one, if you don't mind, then, with Lance Corporal Joseph Waldwald. And Joe was born October 19th, 1988, in Eugene. Moved to Albany and graduated from South Albany High School in 2007. He enlisted in the Marine Corps right after that. If you learn a little bit about Joe, you come to find out that this kid was just an absolute phenomenal athlete. He was good in wrestling. He was good in football. And he actually had the potential of going on to a university and playing football. He did not want to hurt himself and risk his chance of going into the Marine Corps by having an injury. So he ended up going into the Marine Corps right immediately after high school. He died a few days after or before his 22nd birthday. He was killed on October 13th, 2010, by a roadside bomb in Afghanistan. You know, not to go into great detail, the principals, the teachers, the friends at South Albany clearly remember him well, and this would be just a great tribute for us to move forward as a body for the legislature to recognize him as a fallen hero for us. The second one that I'd like to talk to HCR2 is Corporal Corey Weens and his dog Cooper. Now, I just learned this here just before I came down here, and that's why I was a little late. I found out that actually Corey's grandfather was a dog handler during the Korean War. So the connection there is pretty strong. He was born September 6, 1986, in Albany. He graduated from West Albany High School in 2005 and joined the military right away. He became a dog handler and worked alongside Cooper, a yellow lab retriever who specialized in explosive detection. Corey and Cooper made an excellent team detecting TNT, detonation cords, smokeless powder, etc. And if you Google him, you'll see a really neat 8-minute little video of them playing while they were over there in Afghanistan. And I tell you, you better have some hankies. This is tough. And again, I got to just say, thank you so much for listening to this and for considering moving this forward from your committee, because it's huge for us. At the age of 20, Corey and Cooper both made the ultimate sacrifice in an explosive device attack on July 6, 2007. They are both buried together in Polk County, and Corporal Weens loved life and was always known for his servant's heart as he put others before him. And then the last one is Sergeant Ian Taney. And this, again, here's another, man, but, I call him kid, that loved life. And it's just another neat story, being a sergeant in the Marine Corps. So he was born on December 3rd, 1984, in Salem. He was a very active student. And Sergeant Taney participated in a year-long student exchange program in Argentina at age 15. He graduated from Dallas High School in 2003. He joined the Marine Corps in 2005 and married Ashley Stevenson a few months after enlisting. He quickly became a squad leader, an instructor in firearms and martial arts. He graduated at the top of his class. During his fifth deployment, Sergeant Taney was killed in the line of duty on October 16, 2010 in Afghanistan. He received a Purple Heart, the Combat Action Ribbon, the Iraq Campaign Medal, and Navy Unit Commendation. His wife, Ashley, was pregnant at the time of his death, and their little girl 3 months had a little girl 3 months later. And Sergeant Taney was known for his strong Christian faith, his courage, and clearly his decisive leadership. But I think we've got some folks here that most definitely would like to kind of share, too, with you what's going on all three of them. So I think if you have any questions,
At this point, does anybody have any questions for Representative Olson? Okay. Thank you for bringing these forward. Okay, so let's see.
Just the gentleman you said earlier.
Yeah, I'm just trying to decide.
You want to say anything?
Bill's going to go.
So, Bill, are you going to? Okay. Bill Cluding.
Okay,
yes, you may.
That's the little girl. So now you get personalized a little bit.
Okay. Please introduce yourself for the record.
Chair Lively. Committee for the record, Bill Cluding, Polk County. You see the daughter that never got to see her dad. 3 months after he passed away, daughter was born. The parents are sitting right here. It's been tough on them. Ironically, Sergeant Tawney died 2 days after Lance Corporal Rodewald died. They give it their all. They fulfill their duty. And I appreciate bringing these HCR 1, 2, and 3 forward. And hope we pass it right on. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Comments or questions? Thank you. So is there anybody else that wishes to testify in either one of these resolutions, House concurrent resolutions? Thank you.
Genoa Ingram, representing, I guess, the Wiens family. They could not make it today. I know it's bad form for a lobbyist to lose her composure, but I'm going to try to do my best. Corey and Cooper were the first canine team that were killed since the Vietnam War, something that I didn't know about dog teams, canine teams, is that the canine always outranks the human, and I found that fascinating. I didn't know that until Corey and Kevin. They're from my hometown, Independence. Kevin and my husband are very, very close friends. There's been a dog training facility that has been named in their honor. It's just, he had a lot of energy. He loved that dog very, very much. As a representative, Olson said he wanted to be like his grandfather and participate in the canine team. So I'm not the family. I don't have a lot to add. I just didn't want anything to go unsaid today because they gave everything for us. So I guess I can give a few words for them.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your doing that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Okay. Thank you.
She built her courage up.
I built my courage up.
No, I know it's hard, but very good. We appreciate your support.
My name is Theda Tawney. I'm the mother of Sergeant Ian Tawney. I want to thank Representative Olson for bringing these resolutions to the committee, I guess that's And I really appreciate whatever consideration you can give to all of these. I know the family of Joe Rodewald. We've, as Gold Star families, we've become very close. And it's every day is a battle to, well, we think about them all the time, and even though we're proud of them for their sacrifice, it doesn't make it easier because we miss everything about them. And so I just really appreciate your consideration for these resolutions. Thank you.
Thank you for coming forward.
Mr. Chair.
Yes. Representative Huffman.
I just wanted to point out, I don't know if you all have followed it or not, but in the Senate, hopefully in a week or so, we'll have a bill that will name Highway 101 as the Veteran Memorial Highway for Gulf War, Afghanistan, Iraqi veterans. And so I just wanted to let you know that whole highway from north, south, the entirety will be named in their honor. And Representative Olson, did you say there were some Purple Hearts given out with any of these? If there are, we have a Purple Heart bill also. The same bill will actually name I-5 Purple Heart Trail. So.
Okay, anybody else? Again, thank you very much. Thank you for the service of those that you loved and known to our country. We're all the better for it. I mean, that's why we live in this country, but we appreciate you bringing these forward. Representative Escobar.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I've scratched a couple of notes down here, and I don't think that we can ever honor enough those who have given their lives preserving our own freedoms. These three brave men have laid down their lives on that altar of freedom, and for that, I thank you, the parents, but more importantly, I honor them.
Go ahead, Representative Evans.
Yeah, I want to echo everything that's been said. I actually had the honor of serving with Governor Kulongoski at the Ween's funeral, one of 40-some that I attended. And it was at that funeral that, if I remember correctly, Corey's fiance first had a chance to see the ring that he had carried with him during a year of combat. The thing that I want to say, that no words are really enough, is thank you. But what I'd like everybody that watches or hears these committees to hear is that these are three men from this area. We are a country still at war, though it's sometimes too easy to forget. We are at war. There is a price for that war, and it's paid by somebody. And I wish we could undo it, but I'm grateful for your sacrifice. And this is the least we can do. If there are other things that we can do, please let us know.
Thank you. Mr. Administrator, maybe before we close the record, you ought to read the other two, introduce the other two measures.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, HCR 2 memorializes Corporal Corey D. Weens and his military working dog, Cooper. Corporal Weens of Independence, Oregon, was killed with his military working dog, Cooper, by insurgents in Iraq on July 6, 2007. He enlisted in the United States Army after graduating West Albany High School and proudly served as a combat engineer and specialized dog handler assigned to the 94th Dog Detachment, 5th Engineer Battalion, 1st Engineer Battalion. He was 20. Corporal Weens and Cooper were the first military working dog team to be killed in action together since the Vietnam War. Their cremated remains were buried together in Dallas, Oregon, at a ceremony presided over by Governor Ted Kulongoski and 29 dog handlers from police agencies across the state. House Concurrent Resolution 2 honors him.
Thank you.
And right into
House, yeah, 3. House Concurrent Resolution 3, please.
House Concurrent Resolution 3 memorializes Sergeant Ian M. Taney. Sergeant Taney of Salem, Oregon, was killed by insurgents in Sangin, Afghanistan on October 16, 2010, while leading his squad on his 5th combat deployment. He enlisted in the United States Marine Corps in March 2005 and proudly served as an infantry squad leader assigned to the 3rd Battalion, 5th Marine Regiment, 1st Marine Division, 1st Marine Expeditionary Force. His decorations include the Bronze Star Medal, the Navy and Marine Corps Achievement Medal with Decoration for Valor, the Navy and Marine Corps Purple Heart Medal, the Iraq Campaign Medal, the Afghanistan Campaign Medal, Navy Unit Commendation, and the Combat Action Ribbon. House Concurrent Resolution 3 honors him.
Thank you. Anything further? If not, I'll close the public hearings on the House Concurrent Resolutions 1, 2, and 3. And again, thank you all very much for attending. We appreciate it. So I will next open a public hearing on House Bill 2109. Mr. Administrator.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, House Bill 2109 extends the sunset tax credit for provisions of service under the TRICARE contract. With us today, we have Mr. Robert Dumig of the Office of Rural Health and Mr. Chris Olenek of Legislative Revenue Office. There may be a fiscal and revenue impact. No statement is yet issued, and there is a subsequent referral to the Joint Committee on Tax Credits.
Okay. So, Robert Dumig, if you would please come forward. I know this measure was discussed in the Senate committee, And we have the on OLUS, the information that came from there, but helpful whatever you can enlighten us with here. Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Bob Dimmigan with the Oregon Office of Rural Health. My office administered in partnership with the Department of Revenue this tax credit while it was still active. It was created back in 2007 while there was a lot of issues going on with TRICARE and TriWest as far as their reimbursement rates. Mm-hmm. I believe there were at least one, if not two, urban hospitals at that time that quit taking some TriWest patients because of that reimbursement issue. This tax credit was created as an attempt to try and address some of those access issues in the rural community specifically, but also across the state. When the bill was passed, we were given authorization to issue a certain number of certifications for a four-year period, which we did, and at the end of that time, we quit issuing those certifications. We have not seen or heard anything from any providers in the rural area. In fact, our office didn't hear any specific TRICARE issues. It was there were issues within the military department that sort of brought it forward, but we had some little. We were a little bit surprised they were getting a tax credit for patients they were already seeing, and others that were a little bit more frustrated that they had been seeing TRICARE patients for no tax credit, but then other ones were starting to get it to do the same thing. So we issued our last set of tax credits back in 2011. I believe you have the map that shows how those were spread across the state for the three provider types. And we have not heard anything one way or the other since the end of that program from any providers as far as the need for the program, and have not issued any since then. I would say on the Senate side, I believe that the Veterans Department was asked to come back if they had heard anything, and at the last hearing, the chair said that he was not going to pass the bill out. The equivalent
okay. bill. Do members of the committee have questions?
I have a lot of questions.
Yes, actually. Representative Evans.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Sure.
I actually helped craft the bill that became the law, and then so here's my question.
Okay.
Is the sunset and the lack, or at least the understood lack of issuing the certificates done in a belief that the TRICARE system is all hunky-dory now?
Mr. Chair, Representative Evans, no, I don't know that the system is hunky-dory. We've not heard any specific complaints about that particular access issue, so that'd be a great question for the Veterans Department, but we don't deal that specifically with veterans. So,
here's, if I could.
Certainly.
Actually, Veterans Department's really not the most helpful in this, because TRICARE Prime for retirees, but unless TRICARE is really for the folks that are reserve or active, as opposed to the veterans category. In the state of Oregon, the military department does that separate. Over the last 2 years, there has been some challenges in the leadership regarding some of these issues, most notably the reintegration contract that was lost. So I guess what I would ask is, if we allow this to sunset, which I'm fine with, I really strongly encourage a work group, at least, to look into accessibility of care for our soldiers when they are mobilized at the rate that they are through what has been traditionally an underfunded TRICARE system. And again, for those not familiar with TRICARE, I know you are, TRICARE is, it's not really an insurance policy, but it's a method of delivering care for dependents and soldiers, and in our case, soldiers and airmen, while they're mobilized, and for 6 months to a year afterwards, depending on the choices they make. Traditionally, because we have such a widespread a population of serving National Guard and Reservists throughout the state, even though 80% of the state's population is in the Willamette Valley, a lot of our military installations are all over. The rural health issue and the access to TRICARE were in many ways merged. Even though they are distinct populations, they're merged. And I get the idea of it being hard to explain why to continue something if no one's using it. My concern is perhaps people lost focus on making it available and making people know it was available. And because we have wide shifting deployments during a trough in that period when people weren't necessarily needing it, Perhaps folks that knew what was going on with that didn't get the word out because we have continued to cycle. So to not belabor this, I would request perhaps a work group to, or at least a study on if it went away because people didn't need it or if it went away because people didn't know they needed it. I guess it's the best way to say it.
Other questions? I guess my question, just so I understand, so the program, once it was started, so how did, I guess I'm trying to understand, when it initially started, how did people know that they could apply or not apply? I mean, it just seems strange the program was there and then in 2011, they just quit. So I'm just trying to understand what changed after 2011. And not, I'm not suggesting that there wasn't any longer needed. I'm just trying to understand kind of the series of events.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the 2011 sort of ending date was because as we interpreted the legislation, those were the only years we were authorized to actually give certifications for up to that point. Okay. As far as who was eligible, I believe it was Regents had the contract for TriWest at that point. So they would supply us with a list of providers who were seeing TRICARE patients and the numbers that they were seeing. And then at that point, then we would notify those individuals. And because there were limited number of certifications each year, it was on a first-come, first-served basis.
Hmm. Representative Escobar.
How broad and extensive is those providers? Didn't you say you authorized providers so that the veteran, when, and this is a retired military, I assume, under TRICARE, they go to a certain place to get taken care of? Is that it?
TRICARE Prime for retired, which is a separate system than the TRICARE.
Correct. Okay.
Reimbursement rates are higher for the Prime than for the general, is, I think, the best way to explain it. Is that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Evans, I believe that is correct, yes.
The issue, if I could, Chair.
Go right ahead.
What happened in 11 was the certificates couldn't issue them anymore, and the task force work that put together the package for the 09-010 sessions in many ways changed focus, started working on the World War II Memorial as a primary focus, and a lot of the discussions and networking that had happened changed when there was a change in leadership at ODVA and also in the other organization. So what I suspect is there's still a need because TRICARE, again, reimburses at Medicare rates, and the reason we put the tax credit in place was actually to provide an incentive for those to take even a larger load because we knew it wasn't a competitive advantage for them to do so. Perhaps it's just time now to think about how we can sustain that care because we're probably going to have continued mobilizations at least for the next 5 to 6 years as a method, and again, as a separate work group. Separate from this bill, just a thought.
Representative Huffman, did you have a question? Going to provide some clarity?
Well, probably not clarity. Nobody ever looks to me for that, right? I was just going to ask, along Representative Evans' line of thinking, would a relating clause on this one, Mr. Guinea, allow an amendment for a work group? Maybe that's the best way to just move forward. It sounds like we don't want to kill the program. We're just kind of, it's dormant and we're extending the sunset on it, but kind of leaving the infrastructure in place. Am I following that right, Bob?
Mr. Chair and Representative Huffman, I believe that is correct. If I could add that I think if a work group were to come together, that it'd be important that the folks understand we are really good at administering some rural health programs, so we can come up with a lot of statistics, but we're not probably the best to take much of a lead on anything like that.
Right. It appears to me in the conversation, the questions or comments that Representative Evans had, that it's an issue bigger than what, right, that where you're at. And so I'd want to make sure we understood who the right parties we need to engage so we can have that conversation versus, because it's obviously not just this particular issue that may be impacted. So, and I don't know, Representative Huffman, whether that's possible or not, but that's something we can check into and see how we have that conversation before we get out of here and before this thing either expires or what it happens to us, if it is important. So, anything else?
Oh, yeah. Well, just can I just add? I'm sorry I'm late. If this does if this does expire this year, I just want to really get on the record. We can't let this expire. I have TRICARE. It's not fun. and I've had the experience of my own doctor kicking me off of TRICARE when I was in his care, and to protect the names of the innocent who might be senators in this building. I will not name names. But they had to make business decisions around the low reimbursement. And so it is a problem for people to find health care who have TRICARE. Getting into primary care is really a nightmare for these families, particularly out in rural Oregon and at the coastal part of our state. And so this is not a huge lift, I think, for our state to continue to have doctors who understand that they're really doing this as a service to our veterans, and that they're not making they're not getting rich accepting TRICARE. So if this is going to sunset, I really, really want to firmly be on the record that we can't let this one go.
Okay, now we just remind committee members, obviously this is new that we're bringing these to policy committees versus going the other, so that makes the conversation a little different at the policy committee than it is. And we do have, for the record, there's a series of questions that we as a policy committee are supposed to answer back to the committee that ultimately makes the decision on that, which gets into some of the other things about, so who is it that impacts and is it being effective or not and why isn't it, those kind of things. So there is some basis already maybe to ask some of those questions before we have to close the door on this, so I'll pursue that, because I do think there's some more information and questions we need to talk about, because it is policy from that standpoint. So we'll see what we can do to broaden it, but I appreciate your coming, at least updating this at this point.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Sure, thank you. Anything else, anybody else that wishes to testify?
If I could add something to that, and not to ask you a question, but just background information. I believe 2 years ago, TRICARE changed carriers. So one other piece of the puzzle might be when TriWest lost part of the contract and changed over, there might have been a loss of communication in terms of what was or what wasn't available. So as a part of that discussion, perhaps we reach back and talk to people like Mike Haney, who used to be involved with the TriWest, and try to recreate what happened so we know what pool was actually benefiting from it, so we can see if those concerns are still relevant. And maybe there are different providers now, but figure out what would be helpful so we can help the folks trying to help. Just a suggestion.
Okay. We'll have some conversations and see what might be the best path forward to this conversation.
Thank you, sir.
Anything else on this? Okay. If not, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2109. Anything else to come before the committee? Doesn't look like it. Okay. If not, we're adjourned. Okay. If not, we're adjourned.